MSC Cruisecast is a Triple T production. Now, the Taste, Try, Travel team of Beth and Chris.
Well, hello, everybody.
Look who's joining us today.
Our kid with a mangled ear. Look at his ear.
Yeah.
He gets a little carried away scratching his ear sometimes.
I thought he'd want to join us today.
Did he say anything?
Cute kitty.
Oh, kitty.
That's all he had to say. Okay, see you later.
He's being cute. He's never being cute. What's going on?
He's not. Okay.
All right.
Does my microphone look okay?
Eli, you look great.
All right. And hello, everyone.
We are back for another MSC Cruisecast.
This is going to be a good one.
We've got some fun preview news, kind of. Yes,
today is pretty much all about what MSC has been in. The grammar isn't correct. MSC has been in the news lately, and we're going to talk about that. How about that?
They're doing things. Exactly. We're going to talk about it.
Exactly. First, this morning's coffee is Dunkin' Donuts.
In your TIE fighter cup. It's actually my TIE fighter cup.
Chris is a Star Wars baby, so of course we have a
TIE. Look at what's right behind me.
Let a
me
TIE fighter.
Oh, there it is. Oh, look at that.
We have Darth Vader, TIE fighter, and my other side of the cup is an X-Wing, so.
Wow.
There we go. Okay.
All right. Hey, let's get into it because we got a couple things to cover.
Yeah. So first, I want to start out this week by saying that there was an official press release released by MSC. This is all about the World America. And we knew a lot of this information already, but I think they kind of like formally put it into a press release. And they are doing their, they're calling them the seven distinct districts. So, this is very similar probably to the Oasis class ships that have like the neighborhoods, right?
Exactly.
A lot of this information, I'm not going to go over this press release full.
Yeah, just real quick about that.
Yeah.
They are very similar in their design.
Yeah.
The, something of the seas, insert your name here, of the seas.
In any of the Oasis class, right?
Uh-huh. And the World America, the World Europa, the World America, and the yet to be named World something.
Worlds. Yeah, because they kind of have that Y shape almost, right? So kind of has like the two wings in the back and then right, opens like, up that whole center.
There's two ships.
It's like a tuning fork.
There's like two ships on either side of each other and then something in the middle.
Right.
It's so big. So it's very similar. So
we're just going to briefly kind of go through this, and we're not going to go in detail. We will post this press release on our social media, so you can go through and read it all yourself. But because there's a couple other articles we want to get to in today's podcast. So seven distinct districts, Yacht Club. The best district, I believe.
My favorite district.
Everyone's favorite. And it's funny because they start out describing the Yacht Club by saying, for those in the know, and that's exactly what it is. Once you've been on Yacht Club, you know exactly what it is.
That's a great way for them to start that because it really is.
Because not a lot of people truly understand what Yacht Club is.
No, they really think it's more just like where the rich people are. Like there's just a little section where they get rooms.
Right,
exactly.
Right, yeah.
And they probably get a nice little area for them. And they just don't realize how much of a different experience it is.
Total immersive experience. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's definitely like, that's one, that's the first of the seven. The next is
it's like if you took a cruise with 3D goggles on.
Oh.
That's the Yacht Club experience.
Interesting. I haven't heard that one before.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't. I don't know if I agree with that. Just making stuff up. Family Adventura. So that's going to be at the top of the ship. We talked a little bit about that when we were talking about World America. It's where the harbor is. It's like this is like family area explosion. Like there's food. There's going to be a special buffet for kind of teenagers and people who like more simple kind of chicken tenders, whatever there. There's going to be lots of stuff. So Family Adventure is going to be on the top of the ship. And what?
It's as if an Italian who's totally into the family experience ate a little too much family-ness spaghetti and threw it up right there on that short little section of the ship.
I have to say something really funny. Okay, so we don't have kids, so we don't really have any knowledge of a lot of the kids clubs that are going on, you know. But it's funny because I've seen this word before.
As far as I know, kids exist. They're just obstacles in the buffet line. That's as much as I know about kids.
I feel really stupid. I'm just going to tell you how stupid I am. I'm trying to like understand the name that they call their kids club, and it's something like Dora Me Land. And like, I don't know why I couldn't understand. It's Do Re Mi from like The Sound of Music. I felt so freaking stupid about that.
So a string of Pelopones. Exactly. It's not a string of Pelopones. It's a string of polo ponies.
What?
Sorry. That's old Jackie Gleason joke. Okay. Old Jackie Gleason joke.
Okay, so the Family Ventura is going to be a great area. And it's kind of the home to the Do Re Mi Land, which is the action-packed kids area. So the next is the Aqua Deck. So that's going to be the pools and the slides and the... It says there's going to be a tranquil atmosphere there. Maybe that's going to be in the morning, but so that's all to do with water before anyone gets up.
It's a tranquil area before anybody
gets up
because the pools are never a tranquil area. So unless they got something else planned for that, I can't imagine that being a tranquil. It sounds nice.
Yeah. Well, it's going to serve as a vibrant oasis of aquatic delight for all types of guests. So that's going to be.
It just sounds better than chaotic, loud party around the pool.
This is area we will be for sure. It's going to be the Zen area, and it's at the back of the ship, and it's going to have its own bar, and it's going to like where the back of the ship kind of the.
So that's
going
to be on the top wide, deck, right?
Very top, and it's going to have like two pools. It's going to be all adults only area. So that I'm
sounds
excited
a
about.
Little bit more tranquil. Than the aqua.
Well, they call it the Zen area, so I assume it would. The Galleria, now this is going to be everything inside the ship, like in the center, the heart of the ship, like on the bottom decks.
That's like some main restaurants, shops.
Kind of the shops, it seems like, because then another one is called the Terraces, and that's where it says where all of the 9 restaurants and bars and retail shops. Oh. So
they split that to those two... Because I imagine it's that long center
area. Yeah, it's
that
long inside center.
So I bet one half is probably Galleria, more shops.
Yep.
And one half is more like restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense.
Exactly. And then that last section is going to be the promenade, which is going to be as you walk outside in the center of the two back kind of towers.
Right.
Side.
So if you're familiar with like the royal ships, it's like the...
Planky
area.
What is it?
Dang it, I hate it when I forget.
That's where
these.
The carousel was on the Oasis ship.
The boardwalk.
Yep. That's it. Sounds to be very similar to
Planky
that.
Area.
Planky area. Okay.
That's close.
That could work. So anyway, they've kind of officially named these 7 areas. But feel free to read. There's quite a lot more information on this press release. Some we've already gone over, but again, we'll have it on social media. So something kind of about the World America came out in another article. And so I thought kind of as we were talking about World America, we kind of transitioned to this other article that I found.
Sure.
And it is by Erica Silverstein, and it is on the website, The Points Guy. You know, they have lots of good articles. And the title of the article is How One Cruise Line Will Keep Kids from Running Wild.
Well, so can I just say
it piqued my interest?
Yes, real quick. We've noticed a big difference between all the cruise lines of kids,
right?
And how they're handled and how many are on and how they behave when they're on.
Right.
And I would say MSC kind of falls somewhere in the middle.
I think it does too.
Like when you get up to like Celebrity, you're not going to see a lot of kids.
Right.
You see a few kids.
Right.
But they certainly are
Princess,
not.
Princess the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Princess is a little bit more. I think that moves more towards the center.
Yeah.
You'll see a little bit more on Princess.
Right.
MSC, you'll see quite a bit of kids. On Royal and Carnival, you're just sailing with kids.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's you and 6,000 kids.
And I think that also determines how you pick your cruise, right?
Sure.
Because of that.
So I think that MSC is somewhere in the middle. But I have to say that the ones we've been on, the cruises, all of the MSC cruises we've been on, mm-hmm. the kids have been like exceptionally well behaved.
They have, yeah.
I mean, it feels like more like a Princess or a Celebrity, even though there's a decent amount of kids on board.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Royal or a Carnival ship where they can just get crazy sometimes.
Right, right.
So I think that they've already taken that in mind and now they're going to take it one step further,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is a really cool article. Yeah. And you can look at it from the fact like we don't have kids, why do I care? But those of you who maybe don't have kids or aren't traveling with your kids, you're very aware if like you want to go sit in the hot tub and like there's like kids splashing around, like, you know, so it kind of can disturb your peace and sanity.
The good
sometimes.
Thing about the kids when they're splashing around in the hot tub is they're light, so you can just throw them out.
I don't think you're allowed to do that. I don't think so. The beginning of the article.
I give kids a hard time.
You do.
And I really have no problem with kids. No. I love kids.
Yeah.
Like, then they're happy and screaming. I think it's fun. But I always give kids a hard time.
Well, you're just being funny. But yeah. I know that before, again, this something came to me real quick when we were on the Maravilla, when we were in Yacht Club and we were doing afternoon tea. It was the very last day. There were some kids and they were so well behaved in the Yacht Club. But it kind of reminded me like this little girl was like having tea with her mom and she was adorable. It kind of reminded me of on the Titanic, that scene.
Yes, exactly.
Where they were so well behaved. But okay, let's get back to this. So on the beginning of this article, it does some statistics and it says MSC, there's about 600,000 kids that sail on MSC annually. And that sometimes during the high season, you can have 2,000 kids on a cruise ship. Probably one of the bigger ones, but that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just got off of the Magnifica and there was quite a bit of kids on it. So,
right.
Yeah. And that was
not high season.
Not high season.
It wasn't a big ship.
So
yeah. Now in this article, the author was talking to Matteo Mancini, who's the senior manager of kids and family management with MSC, and so all of this information is coming from him, and he is basically saying that MSC does not want to dominate the market of being a kids cruise line and kids friendly. They don't want to dominate. They simply want to be different and unique. And as you'll see further along, I really agree with that. And I think they kind of take that stance with everything that they do. They just want to be a little different and unique. And I think that is one of the things that we really love about them.
Right.
So
right.
If you remember, MSC is a family owned company. So MSC Family Cruises is a family-owned company. So the people that are making these decisions are parents, are grandparents. They're not like this board, right? So they do some quick changes, just like they do with everything else when they're doing with their kids club and all of that. They can make these quick changes. They have more square footage for kids than any other cruise line. That's what they say. On the World America, there's going to be over 10,000 square feet dedicated to just kids and the kids club and the kids area. That's crazy amount of space.
Yeah, because I imagine that's getting pretty close to the size of, well, I since I haven't been on the
Europa.
World Europa yeah. to see the yacht club area, it might be bigger because it's a big ship. But I was going to say, that's probably approaching the yacht club public spaces of how much space there is.
Yeah. So. On the World America, it's going to be the back half area where the harbor, the water slides. There's an arcade. There's a VR. There is an indoor sports court. So there's a huge amount of space. And that's where they're going to have, there's an extended kids buffet, free soft serve ice cream at the buffet. Like there's just some kind of some highlights that they're going to have in that area. But what's really cool is they have focus groups every 3 months. MSC has focus groups on board as well as at their headquarters in Geneva. And they talk about the programs that they have for kids, the activities for their kids, and they find out if kids are still interested in them or if they're kind of feeling like old and outdated. And if they are, then they kind of switch things up. So they try to keep very relevant, not only to what young kids, but like teenagers, right? So teenaging is a lot different now than it was when back when we were teenagers.
Exactly.
We probably would have been fine with ping pong and basketball, but that like doesn't cut it anymore.
Hey kids, gather around. We're going to play a game of Operation.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no thanks, teach.
No. So they continually adapt their kids' programs. So they used to have hour-long programs. They've kind of shortened them to half hours so they can, you know, the attention span can keep them a little bit. They can add more events that might appeal to more kids. And they have a lot of different ways to participate. So instead of having a dance class where everybody has to dance, then they can maybe have some people who want to be in the audience, who want to be judging, who want to be the star, right? Because there's all these different kids and they're trying this way to like really involve all of them as much as possible. So if you have a really shy kid who is forced to go dance in front of everyone, they maybe aren't going to want to go back to the kids club, right? So they're trying to really blend everyone's needs.
Yes. And let me just say a couple things. Well, it's two examples.
Yeah.
When we were on the seashore.
Yep.
It was during Easter?
It was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I remember them having a little like Easter celebration like, kind of.
Yeah.
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 And they really, really got kids involved. Mm-hmm. And they did it like however the kids kind of wanted to participate.
Right.
The kids could just, you know, they could just design their, because they had little headbands. They could design their little headbands and they got little baskets. If they wanted just to do that, they could then parade.
Everyone was different, yeah.
If they wanted to do that and show off their headbands. Mm-hmm. And on Magnifica, we took in one of
the little dance shows
that they kids did. Yeah. Like singing like game shows.
Yeah.
And some of the kids wanted to sit for a while and kind of not just jump right in. Some of the kids just were immediately, you know, front and center. So I understand there's a big range of kids and how they interact, and it's a social thing, and they already seem to be doing like, how can we make sure, I mean, I'm sure that this happens on a lot of cruises, because you just can't pigeonhole
everyone
into every single activity.
Right.
You can't do it because they're just gonna, you know, you're gonna end up with a cranky kid and
who then, doesn't want to go back, right? So that's the whole thing. So there's different ways to participate. There's also, like, if you think about it, MSC is like a European cruise line, right? So you have all of these different nationalities that come and bring their kids. So there's a lot of language barriers too. And their staff is very multilingual. So if you're on the cruise, kids, cruise staff, you have to speak multiple languages to be able to connect to the different kids. So there's that, like if, you know,
Yeah, I was going to say that when we were watching the kids' game show, they were speaking in Spanish, Italian,
they were.
French, English, depending on which kid they were talking to. So they had quite a bit of languages covered right there.
They did. Another thing that they do is, of course, they partner with Lego. So if you have seen any of the Do Re Mi lands on the ships,
the Do Re Mi lands.
Do Re Mi lands. You see a lot of Legos. And so how they talk about that is Lego surpasses every language, right? So if you have kids of three different nationalities that can't speak to each other, all of them know how to play with Legos. All of them know how to build Legos. So it's a great like evener.
Like, I wish they kind of had like an adult Legos, an adult Doremi Land.
Right.
Because I would go play with Legos in there.
A couple really cool things, and this is how they have evolved. So they can, the kids, like, I think this is more teenagers, but they can create images on the computer and they can 3D print them. How cool is that? They also have a drone academy. So this is inside of the indoor sports court. They can actually learn how to fly drones. I'm like, how do I sign up for this class?
No kidding. I want to do that.
Along with being multilingual, their staff, every single one is specially trained to deal with autism and some of the needs that children that need. So it gives some additional, what is the word I'm looking for the parents, some more like comfort for the parents to know.
A little bit of relief in knowing that.
There's that also that specialty train because there is such a
wide. They won't have a crisis moment.
Right.
When they turn their kid over.
Right. They have special spaces for that also. Another really cool thing is there's no cost to any of this. So the kids programs are open from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. So they can go at any time during that. And that includes infants too. So some cruise lines charge for infants or they charge for like late night to keep the kids there. MSC's worked really hard to keep all of this completely free. So basically their whole goal is this, is to engage the children more. The kids want to be there. So the kids aren't just like running the ship, right? You're always going to find those kids that are just going to want to run around. But they're making it so there's these like up-to-date things for them to do. It's not just coloring and, you know, basic. So now I know a lot of cruise lines have really good kids programs. I just thought this was a really interesting breakdown of what MSC is doing and that they're doing these focus groups and they're putting their money and everything into making sure the kids have a really good time, because if your kids have a good time, then I think the parents have a really good time too.
Exactly. Because as former cast members at Disney, we always knew their slogan used to be the happiest place on earth. And we used to always say as cast members, it's the happiest place on earth until about noon.
When your kids are not happy.
Are hungry and tired. And then it's the most miserable place on earth because everybody is not happy. Kids aren't happy, and therefore the parents aren't happy. So keeping the kids happy is such a relief, like I said earlier, for parents.
And the parents can have enjoy some time of their own, enjoy a date night or something like that.
And they aren't worried that they're going to get their kids back and the kids are going to complain.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just be upset or tell them some horror story that they're going to get when they get back. So that's nice.
One last thing to kind of wrap this up is...
Unless they're in front of me in the buffet line.
Then they're
going to have a horror story for the parents. Stop. Because I reached on their plate and took that drumstick that they wanted.
The same program that they have, so they're talking, this is talking about like the bigger ships, right? Like the World America, World Europa, but these same programs, maybe not to this large extent, but are available on all their ships. So if you get your kids and they enjoy what happens on World America, you can go on some of their smaller ships. They still have these very extensive programs. They might not have everything, but it would be very familiar with the kids because things would be the same. So
exactly.
So, again, that was on the Points Guy. Erica Silverstein wrote a very, very good article about that. So, are you ready to move on to the next one? How are we doing with time? Do we got time?
Oh, yeah, we got time.
Okay, beautiful.
We're at 24 minutes.
So. I kind of have two more articles that I would like to talk about. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. This was from the Sea Trade Cruise News, and this article was by Anne Kalosh. And... I love this because it gave some information on the, I think I'm talking right over my mic, sorry. It gave some information on the new MSC terminal in Miami.
Yes. So I can't wait for this.
I know.
Terminal to open, which we will be there. I don't know if it's going to be open before.
It will.
It would make sense.
It says it's supposed to be open by the end of 2024.
Right. It would make sense that they want to open it before the inaugural of the World
America.
Yeah, they
don't want to like.
They want to work out some kinks before the World America gets in there. Yeah. So that would make sense. But I can't wait for this thing.
So if you think about it, this whole new terminal is supposed to carry 2 mega ships, right? Or maybe like 3 ships, but like 2 of their big ships.
Yeah.
Which is high volume.
It's massive.
Yeah.
If people listening to our podcast, go check out our boarding day for Magnifica.
And we cruise right by it.
By it, and you can see how massive this terminal is. It's going to be the biggest in North America it's done.
Yep.
Close to the biggest in the world.
Right.
And you can see it's very, very big. Yeah. So I don't know if it can fit 3. I definitely can fit 2.
Well, it can fit 2 mega ships. I think it might be able to fit 3 of their smaller ships, but I don't know like the technicalities of that.
Right.
But so this article is titled "The High Volume Leonardo Baggage System."
Oh yes, yeah. If you guys want to see the Leonardo baggage system, I'm gonna put up a video of it.
Yeah.
On our YouTube version of this podcast. So,
okay.
And it's their system from the Rome airport, I think.
Yeah, so basically
it's the same system that you're going to be talking about, yeah.
So this is talking about the baggage. Okay, so think about this. This is a massive new terminal. Mega ships are going to be in here. Think about the baggage that has to go in and out of this terminal. So what MSC's done is it's partnered with Leonardo, which is a baggage system, a company that does a baggage system. They've done it in Rome. The biggest one they've done here in the United States, and this is at the airport, is at the Denver International Airport. They refitted the whole thing, and it's called like the cross belt system. So,
right.
And for those of you listening, if you think about like airport luggage, you got one belt, conveyor belt going this way, and you have one going the opposite way, and then some smart computer is like pushing piece of luggage from one belt to the other, so it's gonna like go to all of their wherever it needs to go.
Right, so it's basically just a computer driven
conveyor belt
yeah. system where it punches the bag out wherever that bag needs
to go.
Be punched out to.
Yeah.
So, they also do this with, I think, packaging too.
They do.
I think that Leonardo also does packaging, so like delivery systems,
UPS,
and stuff like
FedEx,
that.
Things like that.
So it has a little, your bag has a little barcode on it,
mm-hmm.
and it scans that little barcode as it goes by, and then that needs to go there, bang, and
exactly.
It goes down a different little conveyor belt.
So. Now I'm not sure what happens currently. I know that you put the bags in those big gray cages, and then those gray cages get like unloaded onto the ship. That's all I know, because that's all I can see. So I don't know what currently happens.
There's a little old man that sits in the corner with his glasses on,
saying this one goes
to
read 15.
C-1410. All right, take that bag.
Exactly.
I think that's the system they have now.
Okay, so this article is basically talking, it's not a very long article, but it's talking about this Leonardo company with this crossbelt technology that has basically only done airports before and other things like the packages, is teaming up with Fincantieri Infrastructure. So Fincantieri is the very large shipbuilding.
It's like their design and construction.
And then Fincantieri Infrastructure is like a sidearm of this company. So they deal with ships, right? So you think about the Leonardo and now Fincantieri Infrastructure, they're going to collaborate in North America's largest cruise terminal, which is the MSC. One, and they're doing an advanced baggage management and sorting system. So in this massive terminal, it's going to be like an airport like sorting. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, they're building this cruise terminal and this system to meet the demands of 36,000 travelers per day. Okay, so I think that's a little bit more than might ever currently or, you know, might go through there. Because if you think there's like 6,000 in one ship
right,
coming and going, that's 12,000.
Six mega ships. So.
Yeah, so what they're saying is it's going to improve the boarding operations, security checks, and delivery time. So that's basically how it's going to affect each and every one of us, right? Because you know sometimes how lousy it is if your bags don't get to your room till like 4 or 5, 6 o'clock, you know, if they end up getting there late. It kind of like puts a damper on your day because you can't get stuff that you might need. So if you think about these like big mega ships, how long does it take? Now, I don't know if like...
I think it was Royal. I think. Maybe. I think it was Wonder of the Seas where it came in like...
Late. It was.
Like at like dinner time. We were like, we can't change for dinner. We don't have our bags yet.
Right.
So,
yeah. I'm curious to know what like Royal Caribbean system has. If they have anything. I mean, this is obviously saying it's the first one of this size and technology. But I'm wondering if like what Royal Caribbean has to sort all theirs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I really doubt that these... Maybe they do. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. So I'm just speculating. But I just can't imagine that all these cruise terminals all over
have
computer automated things.
No.
Just have a feeling that people are taking the, and they're like, this cart needs, or this bag, these bags need to go here.
Right.
They put it on a little tram. The tram goes around to the ship and then they load it on the ship and then they're sorting once they're on the ship.
Now it'll be interesting because you know when you see them load the luggage onto the ship, they're in those like metal cages and stuff like that. Will something like this, will there be like a conveyor belt that will go into the ship with all the luggage? I don't know. Could be interesting.
I don't know, but maybe we're looking at the future of embarkation. Where you just sit on a conveyor belt.
And it brings you...
pops you right in. And
brings you through customs, security.
Stick a little barcode right across your forehead. You just ride a little conveyor belt. They give you a little glass of a little cocktail. You just ride your little conveyor belt.
Just wait.
Boop, and you go down right into the ship.
Yeah. Interesting. Your brain works so funny sometimes. That was basically the article. It basically is talking about Italian technology and where it's going, right? Because Fincantieri is very Italian shipbuilding company. So, and so is Leonardo. So it was a good article. It wasn't very long, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I am so excited to see their new terminal just because it was so bad to begin with down there when they first started in Miami.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it was just it was just a nightmare, and I just am keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking that it will be. It'll be like a nice experience to.
I think they're getting everything together. They're getting themselves together.
Well, so. I mean, I think a lot of cruise lines are figuring that out. Yep. That it's.
It's the beginning of your experience.
It's part of the experience.
Exactly, yeah.
And if you show up to your cruise and it's just... you've already got a headache within 30 minutes of showing up for your vacation. It doesn't start things out that well.
Exactly.
They have to repair that once you're on the ship then. So I imagine that because we've been in some newer like NCLs, new terminal down there is very nice.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of cruise lines are figuring that out. So.
Exactly. I was going to say the Seashore was the last time we were in that. The terminal that is no longer there.
Right.
Okay. So when we were in Magnifica, when we just got, it was one of the smaller terminals.
It was temporary.
And when we're going on the Seashore, this time it actually goes out of Port Canaveral. So right now we're not scheduled to go down to Miami until April, till next April for the inaugural.
Next April, yeah.
So I'm not sure if we'll see it before then or not, but I'm excited about it. Okay, moving on. This is the last article that I wanted to share. This is, the title is MSC makes big changes to win Royal Caribbean and Carnival guests. This is by Daniel Klein from The Street. So I was really curious about that title.
Yeah, no
what
kidding.
What is MSE doing? This is a very controversial subject. And it's about smoking in the casinos.
Okay.
So it says MSC appears to be banning casino smoking on the seashore when the author of this article was there in February. There was no smoking in the bottom level of the casino. So if you remember on the seashore, it's kind of a two level and it kind of has like an open area.
Right.
So there was no smoking allowed on the bottom. Dash. No one wants to hear you lick your foot all the time. So, no smoking on the bottom, but there was smoking.
Does anybody want to hear me lick my foot?
Because no, I can. Either. And officially, the Yoruba and the Virtuosa are smoke free, which is really interesting because both of those cruise in Europe, and you know how much more they smoke on ships, well, everywhere. Europeans tend to smoke more than Americans. But officially, the Yoruba and the Virtuoso are smoke-free casinos right now. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. Because they significantly smoke more than Americans.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
It's expected to have.
It's expected. And yeah. You're many places... indoor. There's not a lot of laws over in Europe. Some countries are different than others, but where you can just smoke indoors. I mean, that's unheard of in the last 20 years here, last 30 years.
Quite a bit of difference,
you
yeah.
You know what? You can't smoke indoors here. Right, and right. Over there, you can't. So that is a big change for...
This article says that they've added some gambling areas near the sports bar on the seascape and the seashore. So we're gonna have to look at that when we're there and see what.
That just reminded me. I don't know if you remember this. I tell a little story.
Okay.
So we were flying into Eastern Turkey one time.
Okay.
And we flew. This was actually during 9/11. We were in Turkey, in Eastern Turkey during 9/11. But anyway, we flew to Istanbul. Mm-hmm. And then from Istanbul to Van, Turkey.
Which, from the Western to the Eastern, and that was the local airline. Turkish Airlines, but it was the local flight.
Right, it wasn't even Turkish Airlines.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't Turkish Airlines. Okay. It was like some local airline.
Yeah.
Like, we got in there and everybody in the plane is smoking.
I vaguely remember that. I don't remember too much.
Oh, I remember because it was like,
what are you doing?
Shock. Like, you can smoke in an airplane?
Right.
Like, everybody. The kids were over there, you know.
We're not.
Smoking. But it was just bizarre just to see that. And this was obviously 20 years ago. I don't know if it's changed
in the airlines yet, but
it just reminded me of that when we were talking about how Europe is a little bit different.
It is,
and what's
accepted
and what's expected and stuff.
It'll
like that.
It'll be interesting so. When we cruise on the Europa to see that too.
Also, just a real quick note about that flight. When it landed in Vaughan, the entire plane erupted in applause. Cheers and applause and whistling. Like
that it landed safely.
Like maybe like 50% of the time it doesn't land safely. It was so weird. Everybody just started applauding and cheering.
That's funny.
That was a little unnerving.
Were there chickens in that plane?
No, we were on a bus.
The bus had the chickens. We've had quite a good amount of travel experience before we've started cruising. I think we've tamed down a bit now that we're on cruises.
That's right. From chickens in the bus and smoking on a plane to the yacht club.
That's right.
Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to throw that out there. Little story.
Well, you know, and even this article was talking a little bit about how it's a hot topic, right? So when cruise lines have experimented before and taking smoking out of casinos, like less people go into the casino and they lose mm-hmm. money. So it's this like back and forth of a
little balance of
finding out, you know, they want to make money. That's the whole reason that they're there. But then so many people complain about the smoke. So it's going to be interesting. And so MSC makes big changes to Wynn, Royal Caribbean, and Carnival Guest. Will more people cruise on MSC if there's no smoking in the casinos?
Well, we'll get the non-smoker.
I don't know.
Gamblers.
I don't know. Yeah. So we'll see when we're.
Well, I mean, as you know, like in a casino, it seems like on ships now, there's a little smoking section.
Right.
And a non-smoking set on a lot of them. There's like a smoking half and a non-smoking half or something like that. And.
But nothing.
Yeah, smoke doesn't obey signs.
No, it's a
smoke. So it's a smoking casino.
Exactly.
If you have a smoking section, it's a smoking casino because it's drifting everywhere. So.
Exactly. I think we were on the Carnival Mardi Gras, and I think they tried to separate it with glass, if I remember right. That was a couple years ago, but I still remember it was just
I think the only
smoke.
Thing
it wasn't
work,
overwhelming smoke, but it was definitely still smoke.
I think the only thing that would work in that situation is like if you had the smoking section like on one area,
yeah,
and the non-smoking, and in between the two were those big leaf blowers, those gas-powered leaf blowers, had like four crew members just blowing,
exactly.
Standing in between. The entire time that you're...
That would have zero people in the casino at that point. So this wasn't a very long article either. So it just says it seems like MSC is like experimenting on this. So when we're on the seashore, we'll see what it's like.
If they're doing, you mean because they've got smoking in one level and non-smoking in the other,
yeah,
or see if it's changed to completely non-smoking,
right?
Or,
well, in the article it says something about it adding a gambling area near the sports bar on the seascape in the seashore. They didn't really like expound on it, so I don't know if they've added a gambling area near the sports bar that maybe was the smoking part, and then they've made the full casino non-smoking. We'll have to see. And I don't know if that is a big topic for you guys, if, you know, you want to be able to sit and smoke while you're gambling, or you hate the smoke. It's kind of that, like, people have very strong feelings either way. So
it's almost...
We don't hang out in the casino.
No, because, we don't. We don't.
Cigarette don't gamble, smoke so. Can trigger some migraines for me. So I have to be, like, real careful on that.
I've always thought of it as, like, some sort of weird nostalgic thing. Reminds
smoking.
Me of old Las Vegas.
Smoking and like pulling the...
Well, maybe not pulling that. That's a long time ago. But just when I was growing up, we used to go to Vegas all the time. And those casinos were
everyone.
Just... Some of those casinos, you walked in and it literally was like very hazy because there was so much smoke.
Yeah.
So I remember those old days. It's kind
it
of nostalgic.
Bring
it's,
memories
it's
back.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't like it that much. Well, I don't like it at all. But some sort of weird part of my brain is like, oh, that's kind
of
reminds me
of
my youth.
Gambling, yeah.
So,
so those were the couple articles in the news this week about MSC. I just wanted
to share those. Some really fun stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
As we should mention just real quick about our oh, that's the wrong one.
What you got up there?
Oh. Sorry. I put up our... There it is.
There it is.
Just mention real quick, in 2025, we have our group cruise.
On
World America. It is going to be in October 18th through the 25th, 7 days, Western Caribbean.
And we are already planning, so we're giving some swag bags out for the first 20 cabins. And so we've already like started getting those together. That's how excited we are.
Yeah, there's going to be some fun, interesting stuff in those swag bags.
Yeah. We'll probably do, I don't know if we've said this or not, but we will have a Facebook directly for everyone who's booked. So we'll be able to keep up on some information. And I am also going to work on a pre-cruise hotel. So we'll probably book book a block of rooms at a hotel in Miami. So we can get a good rate and all kind of stay together and meet up that first night and just kind of have fun before the cruise even starts. So stuff we're working on, obviously it's a little bit of ways away, but we're excited.
Yep. If you want more information, just check out the description and that'll give you some more of that. Anyway. Okay. All right.
Next one coming up, we are going to talk about drink packages. I'm going to try to get rid of some of the confusion around the different drink packages that MSC offers.
So. My nemesis of a subject.
Yes.
My love-hate relationships with drinks.
Yes. So that will be the next podcast next week. Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, if you are listening on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere where you're just listening, come on over to Facebook and join in the conversation in the comments.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all. Have a wonderful, good weekend. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye, everybody.